261 Fearless is a truly global community. We celebrate our similarities and our differences. In this empowerment talk, we chat to Anna Bassett about what it's like to be part of 261 Fearless in New Zealand. Anna is a coach and master coach there. We find out why she became part of 261 Fearless in the first place and where her journey has led her. We also discover how 261 Fearless is doing in New Zealand.
Hello, welcome. I'm Juliet McGrattan, your host for this 261 Fearless Empowerment Talk today. Now, 261 Fearless, as you may know, is a global organisation that uses running to unite and empower women all around the world. Now, we have our internal education platforms where we train our coaches and our club directors, but we wanted to extend this out to the public because we believe that education is really crucial for empowerment. So we present our series of empowerment talks to you where we speak to some incredible women. They are in roles of leadership and influence in the world of business, sport, health, and more. And we love to learn from them and be inspired by them. Now, we're continuing our series of talks with women from our very own 261 Fearless community because we know we have some wonderful women there. So today we're going to be speaking to Anna Bassett. Now, Anna is joining us from New Zealand, where she is a coach at her local group, and she is also a master coach, which means that she trains coaches on our Train the Trainer education program all around the world. Now, 261 has obviously become quite a big part of her life with those roles, and today I really want to explore how she ended up there, how she found 261, what it means to her, and also how 261 Fearless is shaping up in New Zealand. So welcome, Anna.
Hi, Juliet. Thanks for having me.
Really good to have you joining us from across the ocean. And let's just go straight into how did Anna from New Zealand end up with all these roles in 261 Fearless? How did you become part of it?
Well, 261 Fearless had started in New Zealand for a couple of years before I had heard about it at all. And a friend of mine who was actually a hiking friend was doing some of the meet runs with the group in Palmerston North, which was one of the few groups that were, I think there were three or four groups operating then. And she had seen a call out for new coaches for a Train the Trainer. So she, forwarded me the Facebook post or whatever it was and said, oh, this looks like a bit of you. You should have a go at this. It's fun. I knew nothing about it. So I thought I'd investigate. So I followed the ad or whatever it was to find out a bit more about it. And then it did that snowball thing when you think, oh, well, I'll just find out. Well, I'll just fill this in. Well, I'll just have this conversation. And before you know it, you're on an interview call with somebody to come and do the course, which was Edith. So I went to do the course, really not knowing anything about what to expect, particularly, obviously, I did a bit of research on what it was all about. And then I came out of the course, and so then I was a coach, and it really sort of found me. It just took on a bit of a life of its own and found myself a coach and started up a new group with one of the other girls on the course. So that must be 5 or 6 years ago. I think I've lost track really now. And then I moved area slightly and started up another group. So that was how it found me. Yeah.
That's great. So we often find that women find 261 Fearless when they need it. What point were you at in your life that made you think that it was the right thing for you?
Well, that is, you're quite right. I had left the job I had been doing previously for most of my working life, which involved a lot of traveling and tourism people and all those things. And I had just done a sport degree. So I'd gone late as a mature student and done a degree here in Auckland. So my head was very much in the sports space, and it came along then when I was thinking, okay, I'm finished my degree. What am I going to do now? I'd also just moved house. And so I was new in a community. So it came along very much at a time when I was at a natural crossroads and looking around for what to do. The career wise, I ended up working in the place that I had just studied. So I'm still working now in the sport department there. So it's gone hand in hand really well. And it was that extra thing that came along that just sort of, I suppose, filled a gap and ticked a box that married up very well with what I'd been studying and the area of interest. And yeah, sort of gave me a new fit into the community and all that. So yeah, that's when it came along for me.
And how has being part of the community benefited you? What's being part of the organisation? How does that feel to you?
Part of the 261 community. Yeah, it's great. It's fun. I love the fact that it's global. As I mentioned, I had sort of worked internationally quite a lot anyway. And so I've always been interested in people from different cultures and, you know, what's going on in another part of the world. So it's really fun to connect with people such as yourself and the other coaches and master coaches and things from around the world. And also to see, I think, how 261 Fearless does operate in other countries and the differences, the different challenges that people have and the different, even just small culture differences, sense of humour, you know, all those sort of things, just the way it operates quite differently in different countries is really interesting for me. And yeah, it's a great way to connect with people from all over the world. Yeah, it's been really fun.
So just picking up on that a little bit, you said it's the different cultures. What do you think is different in New Zealand? How does being a coach in New Zealand differ, do you think, to maybe some of the other coaches that you've spoken to?
I think that one of the main differences for the ladies here in New Zealand is that we're so lucky in that we don't really have a lot of the barriers that some other people have in terms of to get out running and exercising as a woman, in terms of religion and culture, safety to a large extent. I think we're very lucky in that a lot of people here that want to go running can just get up and go running. And so the barriers that they face here are more probably just the internal, you know, the sort of lack of the confidence or don't really know how to get started or sort of want it to be more of a social thing. So I think it's probably a bit different in that respect. I think also that New Zealanders or Kiwis, as 261 Fearless has found out, operate a little bit differently. I mean, I think we're less sort of maybe formal or less structured, or I don't really know quite how to explain that, but it's a very friendly, open, relaxed kind of a culture here. And everyone is just about all the people that come to the meet runs, once they get over that hurdle of first coming and discovering if they can move or run or anything, it's just all about having a lot of fun and a lot of laughter, really. So yeah, it's quite a relaxed culture, and I think that does set it apart from some of the other places that 261 Fearless does operate.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, laid back yeah. Kiwis.
Yeah, that's right.
is there a difference in the way women perceive sport? Because I know in a lot of the countries they've been put off at school, they don't see themselves as sporty. Is there less of that in New Zealand or not really?
Yeah, I think there is less. Statistically, there is definitely the decline in women, you know, in those stereotypical sort of 14, 15, later teenage years, that participation does decline for sure. But in terms of nationally, sport is still really big for women as well as men. This year, we're not quite in the next year yet. This year we co-hosted with Australia the FIFA Women's World Cup, which was really inspirational to see. I mean, the activities that were going on with all the schoolgirls around the country and everything. And it really, really sparked a passion for being involved in sport in the younger girls as well. But no, New Zealand is very sporty and sport's very strong in all the schools. And most children are involved in club sport, girls just as much as boys, certainly until those later sort of adolescent years when there is a bit of aggression. But we're definitely very different from the cultures in which women are discouraged completely. Mm-hmm. So, which is great. Yeah.
So, but bearing that in mind, do you feel that it's easier for 261 coaches in New Zealand to build their membership and to get women to come along to the meet runs, or are those fear of judgment things still really prominent?
No, I think the fear of judgment thing isn't prominent at all. I think that part of the reason it's a little difficult to get women to come here is because they're all out there doing it anyway. And so it's a bit harder to find the women who need a safe space in which to get out and exercise. As I mentioned before, there are fewer of those kind of cultural barriers, really. And so if people think that they might try running, on the whole, they'll just get up and try it anyway. I think that that it's great for providing the social side of it and the support network in that sense, not so much enabling people to get out and run.
Mm-hmm. So how is 261 going in New Zealand? What's been created?
It's going really well, actually. Since I first got involved, when I said there were just a few groups, we now have about 7 groups, bit of a juggle change going on at the moment with a couple. We've just trained 10 more women a few months ago, I guess. And we're already starting to get applications for next year's Train the Trainer, which is exciting. So we've got about 23 coaches here now across 7 groups. Yeah, 7 or 8 groups. The membership is growing slowly. We're starting to get more and more inquiries about, hey, is there a group in this area? Which is great because it means word is sort of starting to seep out a little bit. And it's lovely to have literally doubled our coach pool size in the last year. Mm-hmm. We have a great WhatsApp group between all the coaches, as I'm sure most countries do, to sort of keep everyone a little bit connected. This next year we're planning to try and get not all the coaches, because a lot of people have to travel, but we're planning to get the coaches together a couple of times. We'll do the annual refresher, but also we're planning one event I think we're going to do that has a huge range of different length runs or walks or whatever, so that a lot of people will get together to do that and spend the weekend together, which will be great. And then one of our new coaches is actually a hiking, well, she's a mountaineer and a hiking guide. And so she's offered to take us all on a guided hike, an alpine one for a day, which will be really fun. So we've got a couple of things, coach bonding things, hopefully planned for the year. We are lucky that Catherine has a part-time life in New Zealand. She's here in the summers usually. So, and Catherine has just arrived back, so she'll be injecting her usual spark and enthusiasm and rallying us all up again. But yeah, it's a great community that we've got going now. So we're excited to see it grow.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. It's good to hear. Good to hear. It's just starting to really get developed. And what impact do you think it's having?
That's a hard question to answer, really. I think so far, quite a small impact, but quite powerful, I think. Mm-hmm. The people who have connected and that have become members and coaches are loving it and feeling very empowered and strong and everything. We've got a long way to go to build our membership base for sure. But as we get new groups up and running, that will happen. Yeah, I think too early to really say, I think. on any mm-hmm. sort of mm-hmm. scale, the impact.
We'll definitely watch this space.
Yes.
And just moving to your sort of master, away from the coach role to your master coach role. So, I mean, there are opportunities within 261 Fearless to kind of step up and take on other roles. What made you want to do that? Why did you put yourself forward to be master coach?
Well, again, it kind of found me, really. And it was probably, it was really as a result of COVID where, as people may or may not know, New Zealand's doors were shut for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And that made training any new coaches or anything impossible. So when that all sort of became evident that was happening, we could all see a need that we really did need a master coach down here if we were going to grow at all. And it was a slow process because I was locked in the country then as well as everyone else being locked out. But there were also then there were pre-COVID, there weren't many of us coaches. And one was the club director. And so there wasn't actually a huge pool, as it were, to choose from. And so I was quite happy to put my hand up and say, well, I can do this. Then it was quite a slow process because of the remoteness of everything. But obviously the world's open again now and we're all up and running. And we hopefully will now be able to look at getting another master coach here. At the moment, to run any Train the Trainers, obviously we still need someone else to come in because we need two coaches and there's only me down here. But at some point we'll overcome that. It was a really good opportunity. And from a personal point of view, you know, it's always great to do all that sort of personal development type stuff. All the training has been really interesting and really educational. So, yeah, it was a great opportunity for me to jump into. Mm.
And just if anyone's watching or listening who doesn't really know what that means, master coach sounds really important. Do you want to just describe or explain a little bit what a master coach does?
Yeah, so essentially the main role, I think, is to be training, helping to train the new coaches. So as the new coaches are recruited to come and do the Train the Trainers, then the master coaches will put those weekends on. For me, in New Zealand, that's just once a year here. So this year I was lucky enough to go to the States to be part of a Train the Trainer as well. So sort of recruiting and training new coaches is the basis of it. I'm probably missing out some other really important part of my job, which I can't think of at the time. Because I'm quite new to the role, the training process took us 2 years. So I've mm-hmm. only been had my wings for a few months, really. So I think the responsibilities will sort of start to step up a bit now. But yeah, there's a lot of engaging with the other master coaches around the world, which is really interesting. We did go over to London last year. I lose track of the years, for a master coach summit, which was great, where you were, of course, as well, Juliet. Mm-hmm. So very nice to be able to do those things too.
That's great. What would you say you've enjoyed most about the master coach journey to where you are now?
I think probably the two aspects of it. One has been the educational and the sort of personal development that I've had through it. But definitely the traveling opportunities to meet and connect with other coaches and master coaches, such as coming over for the Master Coach Summit. That was such an enjoyable weekend. And the opportunity to go and do Train the Trainers in other places and connect with other people is also fabulous.
And then interesting, I guess, to see the difference, as you said at the beginning, in the cultures and the different aspects of 261 in the different countries and how it all works.
Yes, Laurie, one of the other master coaches, and I did the Train the Trainer here in New Zealand together earlier this year, and followed quite closely by one together in Boston. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the first one was on my stomping ground and the second one was on her stomping ground. reasonably close together. And it was really, yeah, it was really interesting for both of us to just be the person on the one hand whose territory is, and then the person whose territory it isn't, and to sort of defer to the rules, as it were, of the other one. Yeah, it was a really interesting process. Yeah, and how different the coaches were and everything.
And what would you say has been the biggest challenge or that you faced as a master coach or a master coach in training as well?
I think so far the biggest challenge is pretty basic, and it's the time zone, because I'm completely in a time zone of my own down here, which means that meeting times are, you know, it's always difficult to work with everyone else in Europe and the States. Or when you're doing something online, you're quickly doing something for one of the coaches or something, and you think, oh, I need to ask this, and then you know you're going to have to wait 8 hours or whatever for anyone to give you an answer. I think that's probably the single thing at the moment. But yeah, touch base with me again when I've been a master coach a bit longer, I might have more challenges.
And then when you have other master coaches and New Zealand and it grows more, then you'll have even more challenges, I'm sure.
Yeah. Although that would eradicate some of the time zone issues, which would be good.
yeah, I guess. So just as a kind of an opportunity to speak to people who are watching, listening, who might be thinking, oh, sounds quite good, this 261 Fearless, and thinking about getting involved, what would, in any form, as a member or a coach, what would you say to them?
Well, I would say 100% be fearless and go for it. Yeah. I mean, you never know. You never regret the things you don't do. You only regret. No, I got that the wrong way around, didn't I? You never regret the things you do. You only regret the things that you don't do. So I would say absolutely grab it with both hands and give it a crack and see how you go. And I promise you, you'll love it.
Fantastic. Thank you, Anna. It's been really interesting to get a little insight into what it's like to be a 261 coach and master coach down there, up there, wherever you want to describe it in New Zealand. And we really excited to see the network growing there. And thank you for all your very hard work for you and all the coaching team and the club director there in New Zealand. So thank you very much for sharing that all with us tonight.
Kia ora, and thank you very much for having me. Yeah.
Perfect.
Right. Oh.